What's going on, guys? Matt Prince here. This is the Matt Prince podcast. Welcome back for another episode. So today we're going to go through a Q&A that I'm running for the Royal Fitness members. Now, I put this into the Facebook group, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick a few of the questions. I'm just going to run down the list basically and go through the questions and answer them as I go. I'm going to shoot it for 20 minutes and then I'm going to stop. And then if I need to do a part two, I'll do that tomorrow and then so on and so on. And we'll get all the questions answered for you guys and hopefully help you out in some way. Now, what I first question that came up. Now, these questions are all they're all varied, so it's not going to be on one specific topic. And I'm just going to give you my thoughts. I'm just going to sort of ramble about them and drink coffee in between. So the first question is, when you first started training, this is from Dylan Seagrave. So when you first started training, who did you look up to, or who did you base your goals around? Okay, now, I just had a sip of coffee so I can think about this, prolonging this. He's asked me this question before and it messes with me. All right, so when I first started training, the reason I started training, I grew up as a kid playing basketball, football. I was little athletics. I did some swimming lessons. So I learned how to not drown, basically. I did some survival lessons, you could call them. And sort of just played like a kid does. And then I got into skateboarding. So when I was like probably 12, my next door neighbor, AJ, he was a skater. He was a big, cool kid. And Dano on the other side, they used to skate. And we used to skate all the time. And they sort of inspired me to get a board. And I got this really shitty board from Kmart. And it was, the bearings didn't really spin and nothing really worked on it. And it was a really shitty board. But I started learning how to like move on it a little bit and started to get a basic understanding of how to skate, right? And then as I got older, I started to become one of the skater bad boys down at the skate park. And I wasn't a bad person like in terms of like smoking or doing drugs or anything like that. But what I was doing was drinking a lot of alcohol, and I was hanging out with the older guys and sort of being a bit of a party boy. And I was skating like 4 or 5 hours a day, pretty much, and just hanging around with the guys who are a lot older. So it basically forced me to age quicker. Right? Forced me to grow up faster because I was hanging out with guys who were like 16, 17, 18, right? And when I was probably 14, maybe 13, I was going out with this girl, and it was like my year 8, year 9 girlfriend. I can't remember what year exactly it was, but I was skating and I had like my long hair and I was partying and everything was really, really good. And then she broke up with me and went out with another guy. And that was like heart crushing. It like broke my heart completely. It did my head in, and it got to this point where I was like, fuck, like I'm useless, I'm worthless, all this sort of stuff. And I started getting enraged by it. So like this other guy who she was with, like he had a six pack, and I was like, oh fuck. Fuck this guy. I'm going to start training. I'm going to get myself jacked. I'm going to be huge, and I'm going to show everyone how good I am. And pretty much after this, it had nothing to do with the girl. It was just, I just wanted to get big now. I was like, sort of like to show everyone I could, but no one really cared, right? It was one of these weird things. So I started training and I started doing work at home. Like I was doing push-ups, and I had dad's, he's like one of those old school bench presses with like 30 kilos of weights. I was doing bench pressing and curling and just playing around in my room. I had the weight set in my room and I just started working out. I was doing some shoulder presses with light dumbbells, just trying to get as much in as I could, doing a heap of sit-ups, drinking protein shakes, even though I didn't know what they did and I didn't actually need them and they just made me fatter and have pimples. But that's a story for a different day. And I started to get some results. And then I went into the Backsmash Leisure Center and started training up there. And basically there, same shit. I didn't know what I was doing. So I was just doing a heap of triceps and biceps and, you know, bench press. And that was it really. Like I didn't actually know how to train. And that's sort of how I got started into it, which led me into an obsession that's become like my life mission basically. And that's a pursuit of strength and understanding the body and becoming better each and every day in the body, which I'm super, super grateful for. So that one experience that was a super upsetting thing that shifted my whole life and sort of built the career that I've got right now, which is crazy. But with these questions of who did I look up to, I didn't really have anybody to look up to. It was more training out of spite. To be honest, I was the first out of my friends that started in the gym. I was going up there by myself. I just realized just then I've never been one to sort of wait for other people to join me in these sorts of things. But I went up there by myself and I just started training, and it got to a point where There was a group of us training a few of my friends, and it was like the main crew was Scotty. We had Scotty Sherlock in there. We had Clay Hilbert in there. Dylan O'Brien was in there. Vitor, this big Brazilian bastard, he was like, he was hanging out with us. He was in like, I don't know if it was year 9 or year 10 at this point, and I swear he was like 18, but he came over and he was just smoking and drinking, and like he was all into like, I don't know, he had a beard, and he was just so much older than us all. It might even have been year 11, I don't know, but this guy, he was like a fully grown man, like the guy off the bench warmers who writes with a crayon, my name is Carlos, I am 8 or 12 or whatever it is, and he's yeah, and he's clearly not. He's a fully grown man smoking and drinking beers. This was like how Vitor was. I don't know if he knew how old he was, but it was completely hilarious. Anyway, these guys, this group of training partners that I had, we just used to go up and smash ourselves, right? And at this point, like I was working two jobs. So I worked at Mitre 10 and at IGA. And what I would do is I'd go to the gym straight from school, and I would train and do stupid shit and just train just for the sake of training and do stuff, right? And then I would go to either IGA or go to footy training or basketball. Like I played footy and basketball at the same time here. And I was just lifting weights with these boys every single day because I loved it. And we didn't really have goals. We didn't really have driving factors, except we just wanted to beat ourselves and beat each other as much as possible. So if we're all benching 80 kilos and I bench 85, that would be huge. I felt great about that. You know, then Clay would come out and he'd bench 90, and then I would be trying to chase him down and benching 90. And that's the importance of a training partner. Now, you guys have that at Royal Fitness already with the people around you. It's like a friendly, competitive environment. Where everybody wants everyone to succeed because it's good for us, but it's one of these games where if you start to compare yourself to somebody who's been doing it a lot longer, it's going to fuck you up, right? Now, why I say that, why I have to point that out is when I say I didn't really look up to anyone, I didn't know any different, right? It was just I just wanted to lift weights and get bigger and stronger so I could like show the girl who's the tough guy, you know, sort of thing. So, and then I end up, you know, hooking Chantal, and you know, she fell in love with my big muscles and my long hair back in the day, my crappy little beard that I had going. But I don't know why she fell in love with me, but she did, so, and I'm super grateful and super lucky for that. But it's really, really funny when people ask me who I looked up to. I didn't really look up to anybody. In the later years, I did. When I was like 18 and stuff, like I've got Arnold Schwarzenegger's first tattoo, first movie tattooed on my foot. Like I love that guy. I looked up to him, and you know, guys like Jay Ferrugia, Joe DeFranco, but those guys were more like influences in my fitness career, more so than training for like for my body. Okay, now I think one of the guys who I looked up to, you could say, would be a guy like Chris Judd, because I was playing football at the time, and I heard about his professionalism and how he trained his core for like 40 minutes before sessions, and that sort of hit me. Like people like that would influence me more than other people, right? And this was in the era before Facebook, before Instagram, so it's a different time. So just so you know, it is a different time. There isn't that social comparison of seeing people on Facebook and Instagram all the time and trying to, you know, show everyone who's the best. There's none of that because it wasn't around, right? Like, and I'm super grateful it wasn't. But what I will say for the second part of this question, so I don't keep rambling on, is who did you base your goals around? Same deal. Like it was just, let's try and beat each other. Let's just have fun. Let's lift weights and we'll just see how we go. We're on no real plan. We're on no real program. We just lifted stuff, right? We hope for the best. And sometimes we got programs given to us by the local trainers. You know, like one of the guys, Christian, he told me to do 50 pull-ups, 50 dips every session. I started doing that, right? Like things like that. But there's nothing special, nothing specific. What I will say is what I know now, if I had known that back then, I'd be so much stronger and have less injuries. Okay, if I had have started training under myself or under, say, like a guy like Chaz or, you know, anybody, all the girls, if they had have started training me when I was like 14, 15, when I started training, I'd be so much bigger and stronger and fitter and everything. Because what you do when you don't know, it's horrible, right? People who train in 24/7 gyms with no real guidance, they mess their bodies up horribly. Terribly. And if they just start copying the big guy next to him, it doesn't work, because what got him there isn't what's going to get you from like point A to point B, because he's already at like W towards Z. Like the people that we compare ourselves to are so much further ahead, and that comparison just makes us feel like shit. So one last thing on this topic before I move it on. I've been talking on this topic for like 10 minutes. Wow, that's crazy. What I will say is, if you're somebody who competes against, like if you're training, right, and you're using your goals about based off what other people think or what other people are doing, you're gonna mess yourself up terribly. Because if you're doing that, you can never win, right? You're in this game of like always gonna keep comparing to the stronger, fitter guy. All right, where if you can progress from like A to B, and you can look back and go, fuck yeah, I progressed from A to B. And I literally did this morning. I wrote all down all the things that I'm happy I've accomplished lately. And it just makes you feel really good. So you look back and see where you've come from, and that's going to be the biggest thing. And then you start to reassess from where you've come from. You've got skills and you want to re-expand that skill set. So I base all of my goals, or I did base all of my goals back then, on just getting bigger and stronger. And I didn't really care. I just had fun with my mates. That's basically how that went. Now, question number two. I hope that helps out a little bit, Dil. But yeah, question number two. I'm just going to have some coffee before I get into this. It's currently Sunday afternoon, and I'm just sipping some coffees. And I thought I'd shoot this before I get caught up in the week and forget to do it. All right, we got question from Claire McRae. So training multiple things / goals at the same time, i.e. strength, long distance running, etc. You demand fist bump. Thanks for the fist bump. Now, Seb Wattlet. I don't know how to say that last name. I always mess it up and say Wattlet, but it's obviously Wattlet. But Seb, he said he seconds this one, and he's looking at doing like running a marathon while also training for a CrossFit comp, and he wants to PB on his squats, bench, and deads. And then he question marked underneath that, or is that too much? Now, there's an interesting thing with this kind of train in everything world, right? And it's creating a few problems for people. It's creating a lack of understanding on what their goal is, because there's that many different goals. And it's creating a void that people fall into where, you know, everything they do for one area fucks up the other area because it's not strategically planned in. And that's why this question is important. This is a big reason why I wanted to answer this. Now, I'll give you some background on my training. So when I started, I was talking about when I was in the gym as a young guy, I was training weights, and I was also playing basketball and football at the same time, and skateboarding, right, when I could. And towards the end of my teenage years, like my 16s, 17s, 18s, when I was back playing football and stuff, I skated a lot less. I very rarely skated in that point. And it ended up being weights, basketball, football. And that was my week. And I was smashing it, and I loved it. It was fun. And then as I got older, I went into kickboxing, and I was also doing weights. I've always done the strength training side of things, but I was doing kickboxing and CrossFit at this point. And one thing a lot of people don't know about me is I've actually got a lot of qualifications in CrossFit that I'm probably as qualified as anyone around this area in CrossFit in itself. Like, I got the certifications for it. I've done like CrossFit gymnastics certs. I've done all these specific courses on the powerlifting side of things, Olympic lifting side of things, kettlebell side of things. Yeah, like I said, gymnastics, TRX side of things. Like, there's been a lot of learning that I've done in the area of multiple discipline training, right? And I spent a bit of time in there, and what I did, I was kickboxing and doing CrossFit at the same time, and I was also running at the same time, and I got really, really, really fit. But what happened is my body was fucked, completely destroyed, right? Like, my elbows were shot out, my shoulders cooked, and it still is pretty cooked, but it's significantly better than what it was. But like, I'd done a lot of damage in this time of my training, right? Because it's just so much impact on your body. When you're doing anything, you need to be careful of the overall load, the overall taxes it has on your body. Now, when I look at now, when I sit back and from a smart point of view, I changed up a lot of things, right? So I was just saying, like, when I was 18, 19, doing the kickboxing CrossFit led me down a terrible path, right? And I was probably 20 by the time I stopped doing that. Probably spent about 2-3 years in that, and Oh no, actually it was more. I probably spent about 5 years doing that. Probably like 22 when I stopped doing the CrossFit side of things, maybe even 23. So it could even be like, yeah, 4 or 5 years. But basically what happened in 2015, I decided to, I was doing strongman in the summer, and I was doing like, I got my yoke up to 300 kilos, I think I was yoking. I was logging, I think I got 100 and 105 or 110 on the log. I was playing around and trying to get stronger, right? Just doing this strongman stuff. I farmers carried, I think it was 240 in the comp. And had a good crack, right? And same deal, like I ended up injuring my shoulder, felt shit because I was forcing down all this chocolate milk to try and gain weight, and just I just didn't feel like an athlete. And I like feeling like an athlete. That was the first time that I just had one focus in my training, and I was like purely strongman. I hated it. And I know Chaz went through the same experience earlier this year. He just felt shit doing it. But you have to do it if you're going to be in that game, right? And you want to compete and see how far you can go. Now, after that, in 2015, I made a decision to do a marathon. All right, but I wanted to do it as an experiment because I didn't want to just do a marathon because I'd get bored with that. So what I did was I signed up for the Melbourne Marathon. This was like end of April that I decided to do it. Probably like around my birthday, I think it was. I think it was like a birthday resolution. So my birthday is 17th of April. So let's call it the 17th of April, right? Around that date, I signed up for the marathon. I signed up for GoFundMe because I did a massive fundraiser for my cousin who has a young son who was very sick at the time, and I wanted to raise money for her so she could look after him and you know not be crazy stressed out and have to leave him at home or get him in daycare and stuff like that, so she could he could have a they could have an easier year basically. And the goal was basically to run the marathon, raise about 20 grand, and hit a powerlifting comp the week after the marathon without losing any more than 10% of my strength of my power lifts. Okay, so I did this. I completed this challenge, and it was really, really interesting. I hired a coach called Mike Fekic, I think it was. He worked for a company called Complete Human Performance. They do online coaching. Alex Viada is the owner of that company, and I'd read his book, The Hybrid Athlete, and that's what got me into this. And I've read this book multiple times. It's a good book if you're interested in it. It sort of explains what I suppose how I coach people who do this stuff. Like anybody who did the Melbourne Marathon the other week, who spoke to me about it, this is how I had them train basically. So what I will say before I get into the exact specifics of it is you want to know exactly where you're at. Okay, this is the issue that a lot of people have with things with like training programs like CrossFit or like functional training, like those just the HIIT trainings and stuff like that. Like you see a lot of these gyms pop up where it's so randomized and it's so spasmodic on what they're doing or what their focus is on any given day, that they don't really progress in any direction in any way. It's just like you go in, you get sweated, you get sweat heaps, you feel a bit beat up when you walk out, and that's the workout. Like there's no forward thinking or forward progression in there, although there probably is like by the coach, but like long term there would be, but short term it's just like a massive hit to the body. Okay, now I look at it a different way. Where are you in your strength now? Where are you in your endurance now? Where are you in your skill now? And how's your recovery? Okay, so think about like a pyramid, right? At the bottom of that pyramid is your endurance and your ability to recover, ability to get through a session, ability to get into like a good habit of training, like you're just physically fit. As you progress up there a little bit, you might have some basic movement skills. Okay, so this part two to the pyramid. If you think about the big fat bottom part, that's the endurance side and recovery side. And then the second part would be, say, like your general movement. So can you do your basics? Can you squat? Can you deadlift? Can you bench press? Can you do pull-ups? That sort of stuff. As you move up one, you've got your strength. Okay, you've got your specific strength. So it might be like, how strong are you? How much force can you produce? How much weight can you lift? How much, weight can you carry? That sort of stuff. And then as you move up again, you've got your specific powers, like as in like muscle power. So how fast can you lift the weight? How fast can you move your body through space? How fast can you explode? And then at the very top, you've got like the finely tuned skill. So like the specific skill of a sport. Okay, so you could look at that sport as in you could look at it as like a running skill, or you could look at it as a strength skill. It might be the ability to deadlift perfectly. It might be the ability to bench press perfectly, to Olympic lift perfectly, to kettlebell snatch perfectly, whatever it is, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, all of these sports, football, anything can go into that skill. But the thing that's very common across the board is the first part is that endurance, is that base. Okay, so if people don't have a good base, they're going to be useless in the top, in the specific spot. This is why a lot of people plateau out in their strength training, because they're too lazy to go and do the endurance side of things, and then they just plateau. So I actually think it's very important to have multiple things. Now, the way I structure it personally, so my sports that I train, multiples, so essentially at the moment I'm training kettlebells. I've cancelled the barbell out of my training for like 2-3 months just to let my body heal a little bit. I've lifted barbells for so long and I just wanted to give it a break. But apart from that, it was powerlifting. So the last year and a half it's been powerlifting and jiu-jitsu, or jiu-jitsu slash a bit of kickboxing. So right now though it's kettlebell stuff and body weight stuff and maybe a few deadlifts, and then jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. Okay, so you can think of it as strength and then martial arts. All right, are my two things. Now, the way I have it set up is I never want to fully beat myself up or fuck myself for the next day's training. Okay, so I want to work hard to a point, but then not go over that threshold. So in jiu-jitsu, I'll work really, really hard. I'll train, I'll do the extra rounds and stuff, but if my elbows are feeling sore, I'll stop it there and call it for the day. The next day in the strength stuff, I'll do the strength stuff. I'll do it to about 90% of my absolute capacity, knowing that I have to kickbox, like do a sparring session and a jiu-jitsu session for an hour and a half, 2 hours the next day, and I'll call it there, right? So I know if I can do 10 reps on something, I'm gonna do 7. If I can do, you know, a one rep max of say 150 on the bench press, I might build up to 135 and do it a bit faster, and then maybe do it a second or a third time in like 3 sets of 1 or something, just to get a little bit of extra work in. Okay, so I'm training very, very smart with that. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. Now, part two to this is you're gonna structure it. Like if you start taking out the jiu-jitsu and add in running, because that's exactly what you guys talked about. Let's say you train at Royal on a Tuesday and a Thursday, and they're your main two strength days, and you're gonna run on a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Saturday as your main running days, or a Sunday, or a, you know, Friday, depending on how you want to structure it. But if you're training for a marathon in particular, the way I programmed it was Monday, I would get out and I would come into the gym and I would hit. I'd run on a Monday, and it was intervals. So it was all in miles. So I'm going to try and translate it. It was all in like half miles and miles because I had an American coach. But basically it was like 2 mile warm up. So 3.2K warm up, go out and run. And then at the start of the training, it would have been like four 800s, which is half miles. So 4 800s at a certain pace. And that pace would be like fast time. It might be like a 3 minute K time or a 3 minute 30K time or something, whatever. It was like a hard effort run, right? So by the end of the marathon training though, that you do your 2 mile warm up, might have broken out to 3 mile warm up to get warm properly, and then we're hitting like 10 to 12 800 meter repeats, and then we do like a 2 mile cool down. Okay, so that's like, I think it's like 12 to 15 k's worth of quality work, and they're all at the same pace. Like if you start to slow down in that pace, you've gone out too hard at the start, so you have to stick to the times that they say. Okay, so and if that time, if I was to say for you, if you run like a 4 minute 30k, I would say do the 800s at a 5 minute pace, okay, as an example. So you might go out, you do your 3.2 warm up, and then you've hit 6 800s, for example, hard interval based stuff. You hit your 800, then you walk for like 3 minutes, but you hit your 800 in 5 minutes or 4 minutes 30, and then you walk for another 2-3 minutes, you recover, and you repeat that like 8 times. Okay, you're doing quality running, and this is your main running session. This is your main fitness gain session. Okay, so then on the Tuesday, I would go in, and what I would do is I would smash out some legs and some arms and some basically like full body powerlifting stuff. So it might be like a squat and might be like a light squat, like a speed squat based day, or a corrective base day. So I might do a heap of lunges and step ups and stuff like that. But then I'd have my heavy bench day on that day. So I'd be benching, you know, say 3x3 heavy and doing a heap of rows and pull ups as an example. Okay, so you think about it like you go on a lighter legs on that set on that Tuesday and a heavier upper body as an example. Now, we program this in into the Royal Fitness plan, so you won't have to think about any of this programming stuff. You just let your coach know that you're doing a marathon, and we'll be able to plug it in for you and help you out with it. But it's this is just how I did it. On the Wednesday, I would go out and I'd do like a 10K run. It'd just be a 10K straight, just jog, just a bit of a jog. On Thursday, it was a heavy, say, dead day and heavy and a light bench day. And that was sort of how I did that. And then I'd do any prehab work, any step ups and stuff like that that I needed for my glutes and core, and that would be that. And then on the Friday, I would hit another heavy leg day. Like, but when I say heavy leg day, it wasn't like crazy weight. It was more like make my legs feel heavy. So I'd do a heap of leg work and hamstring work and quad work and stuff like that to gas my legs out for the Saturday, right? Or if I was running on the Sunday, I'd do this workout on the Saturday, on the day before. So essentially, this would make my long run harder. Okay, and this was the plan of it. This was the idea of it. So I was using strength training to essentially not fuck my body up. Like I never went into anything really, really, really broken or bit burnt out. Like I was saying, you want to recover for the next day. You want to train just to enough so the next day you feel it, but you actually can train. So on that Saturday, I'd be hitting my like half marathon run or 25K run or 15K, depending on where you're at with that. But the idea would be hard intervals, and that's your main fitness-based and speed-based session. You'd hit your full body or lower body. It just depends on who you are. Like this is really general, but let's call it a full body. Let's call it like an RF session on the Tuesday. On the Wednesday, you would hit just a general 10K run or 5K run, depending on what your capability is, just a general recovery-based run. On the Thursday, you would hit another full body. On the Friday or the Saturday, depending on when your long run is. The day before that long run, you're going to hit a heavy leg session. And it doesn't have to be and again, I said like heavy leg session, that's to make your legs feel heavy for that distance run. Then on the distance run, what you would do, let's say it's the Saturday, you would warm up and you would just basically hold the paces that you need to do to hit your marathon pace. So for me, it was like I was aiming for, I think it was 5 minute 30Ks in a lot of my training, or 5 minute Ks in a lot of my training. And then as the distance went out, I realized I wasn't going to be able to hold a 5 minute K for the whole marathon. So I had to build that out to like 6 minutes, and it ended up being like 6.5 minute training kilometers. One thing I forgot to mention with my experiment is that I wanted to do it at the same weight. So I ran the marathon at about 96 and a half, 97 kilos. So that was a good experience in itself. Now, I hope that helps out a little bit, but it is possible, but you need to pick where you want to progress in rapidly and attack that. Okay, so if it's like, okay, I want to progress on my squats and my deads, I'm gonna put my bench on hold for a little bit, because I know if I push them all too hard too fast, I'm gonna burn out, right? I'm gonna get sore elbows and sore shoulders. So my main focus will be squats and deads. So my running and my bench will just be on maintenance, and you might drop one of the days. You might drop the recovery run, and you might cut down the distance on the Saturday, and you focus more on the squats and the deads as the heavy ones, and the bench you can do 2 light days, right? Or a light and a medium day sort of thing. And then if you're looking at it from the other point of view of like you want to focus on the running more, you just got to be aware that your strength in your squatting and your deadlifting won't progress up as fast. So you just got to be cool with that, and then you just keep that on maintenance, and you'd be like, all right, cool, I'm going to go to whatever I can handle for the day and not really care or get attached to numbers, and then go from there. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light. I can definitely help you if you need specific programming for it. Just hit me up, let me know, like if you've got a specific thing and a specific comp, like we can plan for it. But that's a general outline, a general overview of how that would work. And it is 100% possible, and I still do it all the time. I do it a lot, and I will continue to do that. Now, I'm going to touch on one more question, and then I'm going to wrap it up for this one, and I'll do a second podcast around this Q&A for you guys. Now, what have I got? Okay, I'll touch on this one because it fits right in. Now, how to run faster. So Michael Sinclair, Mick, he's a good runner, and he runs basically like a speed-based one. I wouldn't say like he's a classic endurance guy. He likes to run fast for like a good 5 to 10 to 20 kilometers. He's got that sort of mentality, which is really, really hard. That's one of the hardest sort of distances to want to master, is like these lactic acid threshold-based ones. So I'll touch on this one, and then I'll give you a bit of a wrap-up of what I'll go through tomorrow on tomorrow's Q&A, and then leave you to it for the day. But with a good one on how to run faster. So you got to look at it from, when we go back to that strength pyramid, right? When we go back to that capability pyramid, right? You think of the whole idea of where's your endurance at, where's your strength at, where's your speed at, where's your skill at, where's your power at. Now, each area has elements to it that you need to train and you need to cultivate. Okay, so if you don't have an endurance base, you can't run fast for a long period of time. You might run fast for like 100 meters, but then you'll gas out. Okay, if you're trying to take your 10K time from say an hour down to 45 minutes, or say, we'll go an hour to 45 minutes. If you're trying to do that, you're doing 6 minute Ks if you're hitting the hour, and you're hitting 4 minute, say 4 minute 30 Ks roughly. I don't know if that's the right math. It makes sense in my head right now, but it might be wrong. 4 minute 30 Ks to hit the 45 minute mark, right? Now, what we need to look at is how can you sustain a good speed without going over into what's called your lactic acid threshold. Okay, so everybody has this threshold. Everybody has a point where they're going to basically work so hard that a heap of lactic acid goes into their muscles, and then they you know, it's used as an energy system to start with, but then it basically, the muscles just fill up and they can't run any further. Now, think, if you haven't felt this, I'm sure you have, but like if you think about like a 400 meter run, you know, you start off and you sprint it as fast as you can if you're trying to sprint the whole way. By about 200 meters, it hurts like hell, your lungs are on fire and your legs are burning, and by about 100 meters, you feel like you've been shot in the back of the leg with like a tranquilizer gun, and it's just starting to go numb and your legs are starting to flop around everywhere. That's sort of what lactic acid feels like. Now, the way you can train this, and I've done this too, this was part of my marathon training to build up my capacity essentially, is you train just below the lactic acid threshold and you improve the efficiency of your body. Okay, so it's one of these games where it might feel like it's like two steps back to get forward. It kind of is, but like, let's say you wear a heart rate monitor and you track it. So every time you want to see how far you can run before you break it over, I believe the threshold mark's 120 or 140. I'll have to double check on that, but you could probably just Google the lactic acid, general lactic acid threshold as well, but I think it's 120 I was training at, so I wasn't allowed to go over 120 beats per minute. That might be 140 though, just so you guys know. But you would run, I'd run up to 120, and as soon as I started to go over 120, I'd have to slow it back down. Okay, and essentially, you can set little challenges, and it might be like, how fast can I run 10 Ks while keeping my heart rate under 130 beats per minute? All right, and that's a simple way, and it's measurable to be like, oh, cool, I can run 10 Ks in, you know, it might be 78 minutes, keeping it under 120. Because all the time my heart rate spikes above that, and that just happens so often. Now, what I can guarantee, if you practice it long enough and keep trying it and keep, you know, becoming more efficient with your blood flows and like your endurance system, I suppose, you will start to notice that you can run, you know, 10 Ks in say 65 minutes at the 120 beats per minute. And then you might get it to 60 minutes at that time. And what you'll notice is that as you do this, your lactic acid threshold's getting better. Okay, so when you start to push a pace that's like harder, so you're hitting like 4 minute Ks and stuff like that, you'll notice that you'll get further before you get thrown over into that threshold, before you end up getting burnt out, because you're building that lung capacity, you're building that system that's transporting the nutrients that it needs. Now, there's people that are much better qualified to talk about this than I am. And one of the guys who I would ask if you guys get a chance is Mike Taylor. He's kind of new to the gym. He's been around for a couple of months now. But he's a fantastic runner in himself, and he's a very smart man. He's very approachable, very knowledgeable guy. And he's, I'm sure he would help you out. He'd know a lot more about this than I would. So if you hit him up, I'm sure he'll help you out. But Mike Taylor, if you chat to him, just ask him how he builds up his space. He is an ultra marathon runner. He ran 100 Ks which I think is fucking insane. But he basically runs all the shorter distances, as in, like, when I say shorter, like in between marathons and like 70s and stuff like that. He does that shit for fun because he's a psychopath. But he's probably the best person to talk to about that. But my mind is, there's two ways, Mick. So I think, like, look at lactic acid threshold training, getting more efficient with it. So learning how to run further and faster, keeping your heart rate under certain benchmarks, call it 120 for now. That's one way. Now, if we go into the realm that I know better, which is the sprinting based stuff, which is the agility based stuff, which is the, say, the football based lactic acid training, that's the game that I know a lot better. Okay, this is the one that I feel a lot more confident in, and that I've spent a lot more work in. Like, I've broken 3-minute 1Ks and stuff like that in time trials. I've done and this is when I was playing football, but I was in like the 10s for my 3K. I think I got a 10:52 or something like that. 10:53, I think it was. 10:53. And this is at, like, you know, mid 80 kilos at the time, strong lifting weights and doing this sort of stuff. So I'm not like a small jet runner when I was running. It was just gut running, essentially. Now, with the with that sort of training, different game. It's very similar, but it's different. So you want to train just below the point of lactic acid threshold, but for maximum speed. Okay, so you're not trying to hold back and keep it under like a heart rate thing. You're trying to train pretty much as fast as possible for as long as possible before you start to slow down. Okay, it's very, very similar, but it's completely different in the same way. Like, I look at things like pyramid running for this. This was something that worked really, really well for me. So you run 100 meters fast, and then you walk 100 meters. And then you run 200 meters fast, and then you walk 200 meters. And then you do 300, 400 fast, and then you 400 slow. And then you go back down. So you do 400, 300, 200, 100. And that sort of training, that builds up your lactic acid threshold as well, because you get so used to the blood pumping in there. Okay, so that's another way to build up that that middle range distance running. I find that sort of method really, really well. Things like 1K repeats, things like 500 meter repeats. It's just playing with the distances. You just need to pick out where you're struggling. And it might be, like, let's say if you are running 5Ks and you're doing it in a sprint, don't keep just doing 5Ks. Start breaking it down. Do 5 1K time trials or 3 1K time trials even, and start to build out the speed in those, and then you can start to increase it from there, increase it to 4 1Ks. And if you can hit 4 1Ks in, like, you know, if you're trying to do them at 4 minutes, if you can hit 4 1Ks at 4 minutes, and you can start decreasing the rest in between, and then you can add a fifth and then start decreasing the rest in between, eventually you're going to build to like 4 minute Ks for a 5K. Okay, so I hope that makes a bit of sense in it as well. Now, the other one, the last part to this, when you say run faster, because it is a broad question, think of sprinting, right? You think of the fastest people in the world. Let's talk Usain Bolt. Let's talk, let's just talk on Usain Bolt. So Usain Bolt is a freak of nature. He is explosive. He is strong. He is powerful. And that's all very well and good, right? He's got mad, like, mechanics, like his biomechanics and his motor mechanics and how he runs is tremendous. Okay. So for somebody who comes in and says, I want to get more explosive, I want to get faster, and I want to, you know, get my 20 meter time trial down, I'm looking at getting their box jump up, increasing their trap bar deadlift, getting them good at kettlebell swings, doing a lot of kettlebell swings, and just increase their single leg strength as well. So, like, lunging, and you can even look at squatting, but stepping, step ups, squats, lunges, that sort of stuff. You improve those things, I can guarantee your leg strength comes up, which means you can produce more force on the ground, which helps you run faster. That same thing goes with marathon running and distance running. You add more strength to a person who's never ran before, they're going to run faster because they can produce more force with every step, so they can therefore get there quicker. Okay, now, that's one aspect, and the other aspect is the skill side of it. So there is a skill of running that, if you, I can't remember the exact degrees, I think it was 67 degrees that Usain Bolt runs on. And if anybody can, like, be, I think it's 67 degrees for like 8 seconds that he managed to stay at. And if anybody can beat that degrees for that amount of time, and don't quote me on that exact degree, but it's similar to that. So this, you get the story. But if anyone can beat that 67 degrees for like 8.3 seconds, they'll beat his record, because it comes down to physics. That's something to consider as well. So technique can be the simplest fix sometimes. So getting somebody to teach you how to run better and run more efficiently can make you a lot faster. So that's some stuff to think about, but you've got a lot of stuff there that I've covered and a lot of different topics on those areas. Now, I'd love to keep going in on this. I've been going for 40 minutes. And before that, I was going for a 20-minute one, which I screwed up and had to start again. So I'm going to leave it there. I've been talking for an hour straight. I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit. I'm going to get back to lounging around on the couch, hanging out with Tal for the Sunday afternoon. And what I'll do is I'll come back tomorrow with some different topics and what I've got coming up. There's Steph asked about thoughts on overtraining. I'm going to go right into this, my thoughts on overtraining. Carly asked the same sort of thing along the same line. 5 to 6 sessions a week versus 3 with good eating. I'll go into that. We've got Mike Taylor, who I was talking about before with the running. Thoughts on endurance stuff from one person to another, meaning one person may tick all the boxes in training and fitness level versus a second person who may not tick all the boxes but has the pure mental grit to dig deep and to endure, if that makes sense. I'm going to like that topic. It's an interesting one because that one I can go deep on. We've got tips on dealing with frustrations on slow progress injury recovery. I'm going to go right in on this as well. That was from Julia, so I'll touch on that tomorrow. And then I might have to do a third one as well. I've got some more questions here that it will be on the next Q&As that I shoot, which one's how to get yourself ready for early morning training. That one I'll touch on as well. Got a joke question, which I'll leave you guys thinking about it, but it's how many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? I have no idea. And then there's two more that I'll touch on, which I'll go into. This will probably be separate podcasts on themselves down the track, and I'll get it done as soon as possible. But I had these as private messages, so I won't say their name. But we had thoughts on having a rough year personally. So how to deal with like having a rough year and then still achieving highs, but how do you keep getting, I guess my question is, how do you keep getting back up after you get knocked down? Because honestly, it's exhausting. I tend to feel myself in the slums. And then they have to become super selfish to pull themselves out. Okay, so it's basically a question about like how to deal with life's challenges and how to, I suppose, enjoy your wins in there. Now, that's a podcast for itself. I will save that and I'm going to use that in this next week. I really like that topic. It's something I struggle with a lot myself, and it's super, super critical that I hit that. So I'll definitely go into that. And then there's another question that is about... So it's pretty much about mindfulness and trying to steer clear of the negative stuff. So essentially how to reframe bad situations into positive situations. That's the question that I'm getting asked in this other message that I've had. Again, I won't mention the name of who it was because it's a private message. So I'll definitely hit all those up throughout this week. I hope this podcast has helped you out in some way. Now, I have delved deep in. This has probably been the most I've talked about fitness stuff on the Matt Prince podcast for a long time. We've covered everything from how to run faster, how to cross train, essentially how to basically have multiple disciplines. So running, long distance and strength, my thoughts on that. And a bit of a story on when I first started training and who do I look up to and base my goals around. So there's been a lot I've touched on, guys. I hope that helps out in some way. If you do have any questions like this, hit me up. I can definitely, I'll make a list and just keep shooting podcasts till I answer them all. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Hope that helps out. If any of it has resonated with you and you feel like it would help somebody else, help one of your friends out, help one of your family members out, share it with them, because that's the only way I can get this podcast to keep going and keep spreading. I put in a lot of time. Like, it's Sunday, I've been talking for an hour into my phone, so I put in a lot of time and energy into these, and I'd appreciate if you can help me share it up. That'd be fantastic, guys. Apart from that, I hope you all have a great day. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you all shortly. Bye.